Today's guest was a chubby kid at one time who chose to get fit. This choice led him to pursuing his goal and his dream of helping other people do the same. So he went on to become a personal trainer who's now doing a lot of cool stuff. Jay Scott now helps people all over the world through his online fitness training and his show, the Full Disclosure Fitness Podcast, where he basically smacks the typical fitness industry propaganda in the mouth. And so today I want you guys to welcome with me Jay Scott. How you doing, Jay?
I am doing great, and I'm super happy to be here. Thank you for having me, Tom.
Awesome, man. So what, just out of the gate here, what are some things that are important for our listeners to know about you?
Well, I was not successful in business until I was 30 years old. I think that's a good thing to know. I had a lot of problems. I didn't know how to market. I was one of those people who was bitter and kind of against the world. I would give excuses as to why I wasn't able to succeed, that I didn't know the right people, that I couldn't do it because of this and because of that. And I would plug rationalizations in there to cover for mistakes and lack of effort on my part. Yet I was still very good in certain areas. I was able to create a skill set, yet I wasn't able to get that skill set out to the people so I could get clients. So I think that's a unique thing about me. I started succeeding when I was 30, and we might get into this a little bit more later, but I started to succeed, and that branched into other areas, learning how to close sales, learning how to market, learning how to work with people, and then the podcast was a natural evolution from there. And I also learned throughout my fitness career, I went from learning that there are certain rules that must be adhered to in order to lose weight and get in shape. And there's other ones that are just pure propaganda, like you mentioned. And that's what I do with my podcast, is I teach people the difference.
All right, man, I got like eight directions I want to go with this right now. I'm taking all these notes.
That was a lot of stuff right there.
But it's great. No, this is good. So let's get into, you mentioned earlier you didn't know how to market your business.
Mm-hmm.
What was the turning point in that for you?
Well, you know, for creative types, sometimes it's hard to do the marketing. It's like you're good at painting, but how do you sell your paintings? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was in great shape. I was strong. I was fit. I looked fantastic. And yet I couldn't get any clients because I wasn't able to market that. I wasn't able to get my knowledge out there. So the turning point really came. I was sitting in my mom and dad's basement at 30, and I had about two clients. Now, I wasn't completely, you know, like sitting there and doing nothing. I had two clients, and I was making enough if I didn't have to pay rent. I was making enough to pay my bills and things like that. But I remember looking at a specific concrete block on the wall, and it was the time I was fed up, and I looked at it and I said, something has to change. And it was almost, it wasn't suicidal because I would never commit suicide, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's, but I could see it at that point. I was like, this is worthless, useless. I'm not doing the things I should be doing. Something has to change from this moment. And I decided to start blogging. Because I thought, I'm going to put this knowledge out there. It's not going to work. I remember thinking that. Mm-hmm. But at least I'll have tried everything. And, of course, I hadn't tried really anything. I'd put up some flyers, you know.
Right.
But I started to blog once a week. And when I blogged once a week and put the keywords in for my local city, Lexington, Kentucky, I started to grow. And I started to come up in the rankings on the search engines. And I got some calls. And when I got the calls, I didn't do very well on the first couple of consults. So I started reading marketing stuff, and I started reading sales stuff. And so I started learning how to close sales. And then from that, I started reading marketing things because I was starting to think, hey, this is actually working. I started to gain confidence. So by starting that day, I was able to build the most successful in-home personal training business in Lexington, Kentucky. And it just took about a year and a half, amazingly.
An overnight year and a half success, right?
Yeah, well, that was quick to me. I was like, I've been wasting 15 years here. I got certified as a personal trainer when I was 19.
Okay.
So that was 11 years. So, yeah, a year and a half was comparatively quick.
That was good. So go back to this concrete block. What was it about the concrete block? You said you looked at a concrete block. Was it?
I'll do this sometimes when I'm thinking about something. Like if I'm driving down the road, it's strange. If I listen to an audio book, I'll remember the piece of that audiobook by looking at the road. Hmm. That I'll be like, I was listening to this book when I was here. It's really weird. So what happened was when I had that epiphany, I was looking at that blog. So those two became like melded together, forged together. And I remember that block, and I can go look at it now, and it brings back good memories now because I think there was my turning point, you know.
Yeah, I think it probably was in that moment you were feeling a certain emotion.
And yeah, strong.
Having that strong emotion and that aha moment, and the two are forever connected. So, okay, so that's cool. I didn't know if if there was any other significance to that concrete block.
Well,
so.
It signified me being in my parents' basement. Which is just like typical loser stuff. I mean, it is. And I'm talking from somebody, I can talk about it because I was there at 30 in that basement. So, you know, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying that you can pull out of that. And I think it kind of signified that. And I thought something has to change, you know. So it was a little combination of everything there.
So you started blogging. You'd obviously heard of blogging before that, right?
I had, and I thought it wouldn't work. Actually, if we go back to 2008, I moved to Orlando, and I was going to start a business down there. See, I had tried several times before. I tried just enough to say, oh, well, this doesn't work. Oh, I can't do this. So in 2008, I had written like maybe 8 blogs, right? And it was on a terrible site, a website that was probably just designed terribly from an SEO standpoint. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened. And I didn't even use keywords back then. I didn't do anything, but I said it didn't work. So I filed it in the does not work category.
Yeah.
And I decided to try it again, basically, when I was in my parents' basement.
So what was the difference? And the reason I'm camping on this blogging for a bit is I talk a ton about content marketing and blogging and that sort of thing in all of my talks and podcasting and coaching. And I've been drinking the content marketing blogging type Kool-Aid for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to help our listeners understand, you know, maybe some of the differences between the did not work blogging philosophy and the, hey, it's starting to work. Like, what was different?
I think it was that I started to read about how to blog, and I started to use keywords, and I started to use a SEO optimizer. I can't remember the name of it. What's it called? The one SEO... It's called SEO something, but there's several of them. Yeah. And you put your keywords in there and you put what the blog's about. And I had a better design site. I had a WordPress site.
Yeah.
Also, it was more consistent. I said, I'm going to do this once a week, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it was once every 5 days. And really, the more you do it, the better. But at that time, once a week was really good for me. And I did that. And Google started to like me. Now, that I'm lucky in a sense that Google at that time, the algorithms and everything, they actually picked me up. Because who knows, they change all the time.
Yep.
But I was lucky enough to get that little push off the edge of the cliff with Google helped me do that. And then I was like, okay, I can do this. And that gave me confidence. And then I was able to push on further with it.
So what about the content you were creating? What was it like, the blogs and stuff? What were some of the topics and titles and things like that?
Problems that people have. So if you're in a certain industry, you want to attack problems that people have and try to solve those or educate people on those. And it also needs to be something that you're knowledgeable about. So it needs to be something that you know about so that you can write a good, solid article. And when you do that, and you also need to make it, you know, a certain length, you can look these guidelines up, how to write a good blog. But you also, you know, this is the biggest thing, and it's the thing with fitness, it's the thing with everything. You have to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do it every single week. Same thing with weight loss. You have to be in a calorie deficit every day or the majority of days, like 6 out of 7. Then you're going to be doing really well. You want to do good most of the time. And if you do that, you're consistent, you're persistent. That's how you can succeed.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. That's really good stuff. So, you know, I'm actually staring at your homepage, your website now. So for those of you who are listening, go to fulldisclosurefitness.com.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about it, you talked about problems. You know, you help people with their problems. And above the fold of your website here, I have dozens of these conversations every week with companies that I think are doing a crappy job with their websites.
Right.
What I love about yours is right out of the gate, you know, I see you addressing a problem. Do you want to lose fat today? Sign up below. Bam, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and And that's what I want to encourage people who are listening, who are trying to market their business, no matter what it is, especially with your web presence. You've got to identify, you know, what those problems are and make it as clear as day how you are the guy that can help them.
Right. And that PDF report that you get when you sign up for that takes literally 5 minutes to read. It tells you how to calculate your calories for your particular body size, and it teaches you the basics. I hate to say it, but it's the secret of fat loss. It's like gravity. It's the secret of fat loss. You've got to calculate your calories. You got to be consistent with that, and you need to start exercising. And that free report teaches you how to take care of that nutrition aspect. And so it's solving one of the biggest problems in America, obesity, right there on the front page. And all the person has to do is put their name and email in and click, and they instantly get that report. So, yeah, you're exactly right. You want it above the fold. You want it right there. And you want to say, look, I can help you.
I love it. So earlier, at the beginning of this discussion that we're having, you mentioned there are some rules to losing weight and getting in shape and all that other stuff. Before you give us those rules, what's some of the BS in fitness propaganda?
Oh, there's so much. Let me get started on a couple here. That you have to eat several small meals a day. That's one. And that speeds your metabolism. Mm-hmm. Gluten is a big one. It's dangerous for people with celiac disease. That is a disease where you can't process gluten. But for everybody else, gluten is usually fine. Some people have allergy to it, but it's very, very few. Let me think of another one. Low carb. Low carb is basically a way to reduce calories, and it's marketed as a secret, as a solution to the problem. When in reality, the lowering of the calories when you cut out bread, a lot of people eat a lot of bread, a lot of people eat a lot of pasta. Mm-hmm. When you cut that out, you automatically start to lose some fat and you lose some water retention. So it looks like it works, but in reality, you don't have to cut out your carbs. You just have to lower your overall calorie intake. And so there are three right there. I've got tons more if sure. I could just think of them.
So talk to us about the rules. What are those consistent rules? Every industry has its rules of, you know, things that are those non-negotiables, right?
So what would the foundation look like here?
Yeah.
Calories. Now, you don't necessarily have to count calories, but most people when they begin should, because calories are the key to losing fat. They're the key to how much you weigh, how much body fat you're carrying. So calories are the number one thing when it comes to losing weight. Another thing is exercise. You want to do some resistance training. Resistance training keeps muscle tissue on your frame. It makes you look good. Otherwise, you just kind of turn into a smaller version of what you look like. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of. So you want to lift weights, even for women, because it will help you, air quotes, tone up. Or if you're a guy, your hormonal profile is such that you can actually gain some muscle tissue, and it just shapes your body. So you want those two things. And also your protein intake, you want it to be a little higher than what the government recommends typically, and that helps you to build and tone that muscle. So that's the secret right there. Now, the way you do that, it gets a lot deeper because there's several different methods to be able to do that. It's kind of like a personal preference kind of thing.
It's funny. One of my phone calls that I was telling you I was on this morning before you and I got on, this was a big part of our conversation, was, you know, diet and exercise. Mm-hmm. And I actually said, I heard, you know, you should probably be eating a lot of meals a day.
That's a very popular thing to say. I did that for 10 years, so don't feel bad.
No, and so now... with these non-negotiables, these rules of weight loss and getting fit and stuff, how does that tie in? For instance, I was listening to one of your other podcasts, and I think you were talking. I can't remember who you were talking to, but it was about messing around with some fasting and not eating that big protein breakfast necessarily first thing in the morning. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but
yes.
How do these rules tie into how we each individually respond to what our body really needs and wants?
Well, if you do the calorie thing, you're going to lose weight. It doesn't matter what you do as far as nutrient timing. So you could get up, you could eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if you're eating below what your body naturally burns off in a day or what it burns off with your exercise program, then you're going to lose fat. So that's the number one thing to remember. But what I was talking about was intermittent fasting and also carb backloading. And so intermittent fasting is basically having an eating window that's small. So you're kind of fasting all day, and then you have a 6 to 8 hour eating window, and you eat all of your calories in there, and it feels like you're eating more because you're eating all of your calories bunched into bigger meals, right?
Yeah.
So some people that works great for. I happen to be one of them, but the way I do it, because I'm more concerned with my muscle tissue, I'm a bodybuilder. You know, I'm a small bodybuilder, but I am a bodybuilder. And so the way I do it is I have a little bit of protein at breakfast, a little bit of protein at lunch, then I have a pretty big meal about 5 o'clock, and then a pretty big meal about 9 o'clock at night. And that way I'm full when I go to bed, and I'm still losing weight. Because I'm very hungry at night. That's the thing with me. I get really hungry about 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and that's when I'm likely to break my diet. That's when I'm likely to eat too much. So if I place all those calories there, I kind of solve the problem. I happen to not be very hungry at all in the mornings. So why eat there if you're not hungry? And dude, so yeah. That's the basis of it. Go ahead.
No, dude, I am like, I have to have tortilla chips at late at night.
Well, you can fit those in there.
That's, that is my thing. Like I am freaking starving at night.
I love them too, man. Those late night
chips
snacks.
And salsa, man, is like my thing. And I'm just laughing because I try to get up. So what I've always heard is, well, if you don't eat a big enough breakfast early in the day that's high protein, you're going to be hungrier at night. Is that a myth or is that true?
It's not true for me.
Okay.
Now, everybody is different. That's why, you know, when I do my coaching, I'm like, when do you typically eat? You know,
yeah.
All my life. It was like 8 or 9 o'clock at night all my life. And I tried to go against that for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I was eating 6 times a day, little teases of meals, like where you take 2 bites and it's gone, you know, because you've spread your meals, your calories out so far. And so with this, I've only started this 5 days ago. So this is a big epiphany for me right now. I had a guy named Gregory O'Gallagher, and he has a Road to Ripped podcast. And he was on my show and he said, I eat all my calories at night, and I thought, man, I've got to get off this bodybuilding, air quotes, mindset and try something new because this is not working for me. And I started trying it, and it's worked really well. I'm really full at 9 o'clock. I don't want to go over my calories. So far for me, it's really working, but you have to find out where to place those calories for your particular personality.
So do you have a tool that we can use to count our calories?
Yeah, it's that special report. Okay. It's basically your body weight times 10 to 12, according to your activity level. But it tells you in detail how to do it. And that's at fulldisclosurefitness.com. Put your name and email in the form at the top of the page. And it tells you exactly how to do that. It also tells you what the different macronutrients are in a very easy to understand way. Mm-hmm. And that macronutrients are protein, carbs, and fats. And so that's what you eat every day. And you'll learn what they are, what they do, and you'll learn how to calculate your calories. It's a very useful thing.
And do you recommend anything as we're going through our day to keep track of those calories? Any apps or how do you recommend somebody does that?
There is a good one, and there's several actually. I'm not associated with this company. It's called MyFitnessPal. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No.
Under Armour just bought it, and it is a great way to track your calories. It's got almost every food you can imagine in that database, and you type it in there. No matter if it's fast food or if you're just buying something from the store, and then you can track your calories in that app, and it tells you your totals there at the bottom. So it's just like money or just like metrics of any other kind. You have to keep track if you want to know what you're doing.
Awesome. Now I'll put that in the show notes so people can link to it and check it out. So we're talking about this fitness stuff. We're talking about calories and you know, weight loss, getting in shape. Jay, what does all this have to do with building a strong business, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it has a lot to do with it. I know that when I started bodybuilding, and again, I'm not a huge guy, but I had to build muscle because I was a very scrawny person and a little bit chubby, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, when I first started. It taught me that success comes in increments, very, very small increments, day by day. And you have to be used to the fact that you are going to only progress a little tiny bit every day, most of the time. Sometimes there's jumps, but most of the time it's a little bit. Sometimes you may not even think you're moving, but over time these things add up to big results. And I think that's the biggest thing that fitness and bodybuilding and everything has taught me. And you learn that when you go on a diet and you lose body fat. Let's say you have 20 pounds to lose, 30 pounds to lose, all the way up to whatever. As that comes off, you start to understand that making the right effort, the right move every single day will eventually lead you to a goal. And it's the same thing starting a podcast. It's the same thing starting a business. It reaches across different fields of life. So,
yeah, I feel strongly about, and that's why, you know, I have somebody like you on here and I on this podcast, because I believe that our business will only grow as strong as we are personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I make a, you know, I live outside of Colorado Springs, and my family and I just moved here not too long ago, and I try to hike every day.
You know, do you love it out there? Because I got to say something. I've always wanted to go to Colorado, and I've not gotten a chance yet. And it's one of the few places that I haven't been, and I'm just dying to go. So
absolutely love it, man. I'm from the Chicago area. I traveled the world in the Marine Corps, and my wife and I decided to pack up our stuff earlier this year and move our three kids and us out here. I absolutely love the mountains. I love being outside. And so when you're ready, man, let me know. We got a place for you to crash. No charge. Come on out.
Awesome.
Check it out. We'll go hiking. There's a thing here called the Incline in Manitou Springs. I live in Manitou Springs, Colorado. And you look out my front door and I see Pikes Peak. And then a little bit to the right of it, I see this thing called the Incline. Well, you know, the Olympic Training Center is here, one of them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the Olympians train on this thing. And it's basically about a mile vertical climb. It goes 2,000 feet in a mile.
Wow.
And that's the elevation change. And so, you know, you'll go out there and you'll see these people running up the thing with those oxygen mask things on.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, they're getting like a higher red blood cell count because they got to get used to it.
They're running that thing and I'm like, I'm hiking it and I'm dying, you know? And, somebody told me the other day, last week, I was talking to a friend of mine out here. He says, apparently Apollo Ono, the speed skater, mm-hmm. used to hop it on one leg. So like he'd hop so many steps and then he'd hop. They're like railroad ties that go up and it's this massive staircase that goes 2,000 feet. So you got to get your tail out here, put a GoPro on and do that thing, man, and share it with your audience. It'd be cool.
That sounds awesome. I wonder if you went up halfway on one leg and half on the other, or if you had to go back and do the other leg. It's got to be even, right?
It does. So, but it's been great. And so I believe, you know, between my hiking, my kettlebell training, and I recently just started with my sons and my daughters, my three kids. They've been doing it for a while, but I felt it was time for me to get off my butt with this too. I started training Krav Maga and jiu-jitsu and some things like that with my boys. So
that's useful stuff too. That's really useful self-defense. That Krav Maga is the Israeli thing, mm-hmm. self-defense. That's right.
Yeah.
That's some really intense stuff.
I think, you know, my incredibly limited understanding of it at this point is the basic premise is when you're in a real life or death situation, being mugged or whatever the heck it is, the whole goal is just for you to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And so
go for the eyes, go for the Adam's apple.
Yeah. It's really just a, whatever it takes for you to get home is the whole point of the thing. So
I agree with that.
And what's funny is, our instructor was telling us, the other day, he says, yeah, it's funny if, in these bigger high tier military units and things like that, where, you know, in the Israeli special forces and stuff, if somebody dies in hand to hand combat, they bring all the minds back together and they revamp the program. So it's like, okay, if somebody dies, then we didn't train something properly.
And yeah, so, it's supposed to be one of the coolest self-defense things that there is. I mean, I think that's a very valuable thing, and it's going to be in good hands with you and a lot of other people. Yeah. There's very few people use that stuff. I mean, you never really hear about that, somebody going out and being, like, aggressive with it. You're only going to use that if you have to. I mean, that's intense stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what's funny is, as I've been consistent with the hiking and the kettlebells and everything else I do fitness-wise, I have seen a direct correlation to how my business does. And I think it simply comes down to confidence. I'm just more of a confident person. I walk a little taller. I have more energy. I'm more focused. It helps me to be more creative. And so that's why I really push the fitness side with helping people build a business. So let's talk about your online business a little.
Yeah.
You know, if we had a nickel for all the people that are trying to build an online business right now and that are not succeeding,
right,
we'd have a big pile of nickels. So, what can you tell us about what you've learned? Maybe some of the low hanging fruit that you wish you would have known early on when you were building your online business.
Well, my online business is early on, so this is a startup, and it's tough to get traction in an area. I do webcam personal trainings. This is an area that's not been tapped a whole lot. And it's really hard to get it out there and get people to realize the value of it. Now, I know the value of it because I trained people in home with minimal equipment for a long time. And they got spectacular results. In fact, I've got just about more verified video testimonials, actually more than anybody I know of in the fitness industry. People that have before and after pictures and a video talking to me, you know, so it verifies it. Mm-hmm. So I know it works, that if you combine nutrition, the proper nutrition, with working out with yoga, Pilates, bodyweight exercises, calisthenics, all this stuff in your own home, you can achieve a fantastic physique. But a lot of people don't know this. So getting it over that hump is what I'm working on. And one of the things that I will tell people is, if you're trying to get people to latch on to your idea, you're trying to get clients, you need to network. And you need to get out there and get on some podcasts, write articles. I wrote my first article last week for the Good Men Project. You need to be writing for big sites. You need to be getting on podcasts. You need to be maybe have your own podcast. You need to be doing public speaking. These are the things where I've seen the most benefit. And a lot of these I'm working on implementing right now. I've done public speaking in the past. I'm actually going to start trying to get some more of those gigs. I think you have to get out there and really take action over this education. Because a lot of people, I always say that, action over education. Mm-hmm. A lot of people focus on this education and they keep on educating, but they don't take action. They don't implement. So that's what I think.
No, that's good stuff. In fact, I remember, actually I'm looking it up to see what episode it was here. But a couple months ago, I'm not going to waste our time trying to find the episode number here, but on the Strongpreneur podcast, I interviewed a marketing strategist. Her name is Misty Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually really, really helped me a lot. I interviewed her, and then I worked with her a little bit and on my own personal business. And one of the things she said to me, she says, "Tom, you do such a great job creating content." She goes, in fact, her and her team advised me to stop creating content and actually get out there and spread it and market that content. And so I would say exactly what you just said about getting on podcasts and speaking. And, you know, I know you've been on different networks and things like that. It's taking that content, that knowledge that we have, and really spending 80% of our time marketing that content.
Well, see, I did that really well on a local level. Mm-hmm. And I did all of it that I needed. When you get on a worldwide level, it is a different ball game. Let me tell you, and over the last year, that's what I've been learning is, this is a different ball game. I've really got to get out there now, because there's so much noise out there that you are not going to stand out without persistence and without really getting yourself out there asking for things. You know, I ask you to come on your podcast.
Yep.
And that is what you got to do. And you could have said no. And a lot of people may have said no. They have said no. A lot of people say no. But the point of it is, you can't let that affect your ego. You got to find the right matches for you, and the only way to find them are to get out there and ask people.
So let's talk about the mental game of and how that plays a role in your success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think back to the time you were, I guess, maybe in the basement at mom's house.
Right.
What was going through your mind at that time?
What was going through my mind at that time was, it was basically negative thoughts. And you have to get out of that. You have to quit reinforcing those negative thoughts. One book I'm going to tell you that really helped me, and I've seen a lot of people love this book. It's got high ratings on Amazon. Some people are like, why is a plastic surgeon writing a book about the mind? But the book is Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. And that book is from the 1950s. It's really the first self-help book. And if you read that book, you're going to understand much deeper how your mind works. And you're also going to understand that Tony Robbins and a lot of people have read that book and have taken the ideas from it and expanded on it, like everybody should. I'm not saying they're thieves. I'm saying they took it further and they took it in different directions. But that book tells you how to reinforce positive mindsets. It tells you how to help your self-confidence and your self-esteem. And it tells you how to think in order to succeed. And I'll tell you, I'll give you one example of that.
Great.
When I'm getting ready to go on TV, I remember the first time I was getting ready to do a news appearance, and it's live, and I was a little freaked out. But I had just read Psycho-Cybernetics, so it tells you in there to reinforce the positive. In other words, to worry backwards, because worry is basically predicting a negative outcome. So what you do is you think about a positive outcome and you replay that over and over. I don't care if it's from, it doesn't have to be a previous TV experience, although that's what I use now. It can be your mom and dad or your teacher telling you you did great in the first grade and giving you a trophy. And that gives you this positive mindset. There's this, the neurons fired in a certain way when you were handed that trophy. And that little feeling, you want to recall that feeling. And you want to replay it over and over in your mind right before you're getting ready to go on and do whatever this thing is, like the TV appearance, whatever the nerve-wracking thing is. You want to replay that in your mind, and it fires off the neurons in a certain pattern. Because it's hard to believe that, because we just think of our mind as us. But your neurons are firing off in a specific little lightning bolt pattern when you worry. Mm-hmm. And they're firing off in a specific little lightning bolt pattern when you are positive and you think you're going to succeed. So you want to reinforce the positive, because these neuron pathways grow stronger the more you use them. So reinforce it with that positive, and then you're going to perform better in whatever chosen activity you're getting ready to do. So that is one main thing that really changed my life, is I would replay those positives instead of worrying and replaying the negatives. And when I started to do that with my business, that's really when things started to take off and I grew more confident and was able to get out there and succeed.
So what's an example look like in the business realm for you with that? How did you actually implement it?
Oh, here's a good one. When I made my first sale, okay, somebody signed up. I do a little jumpstart package, which is a small sale. Mm-hmm. And then I move on into a bigger sale, because you don't want to sell somebody a super high price package because it's an investment. You'd rather just step them into it, right?
Yep.
And my current business, for all of you listening out there, iSciencefit.com, is a lot lower priced. But when you're doing one-on-one personal training, it's a very high-priced program, service. Mm-hmm. So when I made that first initial sale, I kind of felt a certain way. And I remember I thought, I'm going to remember this feeling. And then the next time I had a consult call, before I got on the phone, before I even picked up the phone, because I have a script. That's another good thing to have. I had a script that I go through, and I sat there and I replayed what it felt like to make that sale. And I replayed it probably for about 5 minutes in my mind with my eyes closed, almost in a meditative state. Then I made the call, and I realized that things go much, much better when you have that positive mindset and when you're reaffirming the positive. So that's an example. You can do it with everything. Think about it. Your marketing, when you're writing a blog post, think about the two people or the one person that wrote and said, I really love that article. Don't think about that. Only two people replied back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you want to replay these positives instead of thinking of the negatives. It's the, you know, the glass half empty, glass half full. This has been around forever, yet we still don't take it to heart, sometimes because it's been around forever. But it really is true. You have to be positive. You have to stay positive. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, one of my coaches years ago, in one of my old businesses, we were having a really tough time in the business, and we were worried, and you know, I was freaking out about some stuff. And I remember him saying, you know, listen, man, you need to take this energy, you know, that is causing this anxiety, mm-hmm. and you need to put it to work for you. And it was very similar. It was about focusing on the things that, you know, where you want to go instead of where you are. And because we have the energy, right? One way or the other, you're expending that anxiety is burning up energy in you.
Yeah. It talks about that in psychocybernetics as well, that you have a store of energy. And when something happens, you have a choice as to which emotion you put that energy into. So you choose whether to be super upset or to see a benefit somehow in it. Now, let me just say this. I'm working on this every day. I'm not an expert. I don't have this thing licked, okay?
Right.
I just have found this out, and I try to do it each and every day. And I think when you try to do it each and every day, it puts you a step above average, and then you can just work to kind of go to the next level over and over again. You can never perfect this thing. It's something you work on for eternity, you know, as long as you're alive.
So you've been in the game quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
What would the 19-year-old Jay think of the Jay sitting here today with me?
He'd be very, very impressed, and sometimes I have to remind myself of that because I get down on myself. I'm bad for that. That's why I'm talking about all this stuff. When somebody, usually when they talk about things in such an in-depth manner, they've got a problem in that area, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm no different. I have a problem in that area. And a lot of times I feel like, I'm just not making any progress. I'm not doing enough. Maybe I should work, you know, more hours. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. Am I doing this right? And then I think about how far I've came. And I look backwards down the path that I've traveled. And that helps me understand how far I've came. And so no matter where you're at right now, look at the things you've learned and look at the little things you've done and build upon that and understand that what you're really trying to do is just get better every day. And the 19-year-old me would be very impressed and very happy. And that's why when I feel depressed nowadays about my career, about my business, or that it's not going fast enough, I have to catch myself and say, look, things have gotten much, much better. You've done well. Now relax and get back to the persistence of doing the right thing every day.
How do you feel that you balance, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, that line between contentment yet not being satisfied with where you are?
I think that that is a tricky one, and I think that you will constantly flip back and forth with that. I really do. I think that it's a fine line of being motivated and having a lot of high, lofty goals. And it's one of those things, I just have to tell you, you're always going to battle it, but always look backwards down the path and understand the good things that you've done. Respect yourself. You know, you would respect somebody else who have done all the things that you've done. I always have to tell myself that. If I seen somebody who had done the things that I've done, had a podcast and all this stuff, if I'd seen that before I started any of this, I would respect that person. Now, why am I not respecting myself? And I think that that's the thing you have to do, because if you go too soft and you say, well, I'm the man, I don't have to do anything else, this is awesome, I'm the man, then you're not going to do anything, right? You're just going to be satisfied with where you're at. You're going to sit on your laurels. But if you can see the future, where you'd like to go, and you can look back and you can see how far you've came, you find this happy medium where you are content, but you still want to reach. And I think that's the healthiest. We see successful people all the time that are just, you know, 100 miles forward. They just, every day they're going forward, forward, forward. Never is enough. It's never enough. They're not thankful at all. I think you got to get up every day. You got to say, okay, I'm thankful for these things, yet I still want to reach a little further. Let's get the things done that's necessary to move further today and be satisfied with those small increments and be satisfied too, and thankful and appreciative for everything that you already have.
That's good stuff. So who do you look up to? Who are some of your mentors or heroes, whatever you want to call it?
You know, Walt Disney comes to mind first and foremost.
All right, I did not expect that from you.
Really?
I didn't. You know, I mean, I'm not surprised, but I mean, you're Mr. Fitness guy, you know? And so I don't know what I expected, but I didn't expect you to say Walt Disney. So that's interesting.
I love Disney World. I've never been to Disneyland. I love Disney World, and I've been about 16 times with my parents. And one of the reasons I love to go is not just to, you know, like run around with people in costumes. It's not that. It's that I see someone's dream, someone's vision that they had in their head, and they were beaten down by a lot of people and told that it wouldn't work, yet they were still able to bring that out of their head and into reality. And Walt Disney, you never know anybody unless you know him, but from all accounts, was a really great person, just a good guy, as good as we can be as a human. I mean, he had his faults, but he also overcame a lot of tragedy. His parents, basically, he moved them out to California from Kansas, and shortly after he moved them out, he got a call, and they were dead. There was a gas leak in the house, and they didn't check for that back then. And, you know, all through all these things, he was making these things that just brighten everybody's life. He never gave up and said, oh, you know, I just can't do this. He thought everything through so deeply, and it was all with something really good. You know, we can say that with Steve Jobs. You can say that he really thought everything through. But the truth of the matter is, Walt Disney wanted to bring everybody back to that childhood mindset that hopefully you had that as a child. Some people don't. But where everything is good and you're happy, and it's almost like winning the lottery, that you're in line for a roller coaster, that you're going to the pool that day. I remember these things. And I always get a little bit of that feeling back, combined with the fact that this guy absolutely made his vision a reality. And it just overwhelms me. I get a feeling that it's hard to put it into words for me, but it's amazing.
All right. So project out 7 to 10 years in your life and business. What's your vision look like? What do you see?
My goal is I want to take personal training into the future. So what I want to do is I want to bring it into people's house. As with webcams right now, later it will progress into whatever medium is connecting people, Oculus Rift, whatever it is. I want to bring fitness, and I also want to bring personal attention. Because that's my thing. If there's anything that's my thing, you know, marketing is probably my weakness that I have to work on all the time. My strength is helping people and really caring. I can look them right in the eye and they know immediately that I want them to succeed. And that's what this medium allows me to do with webcam personal training. So I want to bring fitness education, get rid of the propaganda, let people know what really works, and personal attention into everybody's home, and let them be able to just turn on the TV. They don't have to get ready and go to the gym. Turn on the TV. You got somebody there that cares about you, a friend that's going to help you get in the best shape of your life and change your life like exercise has changed yours, Tom. You know, it's an amazing thing when you start to work out and you start to get the good chemicals going and you just feel healthier and more vibrant with more energy. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to bring to the world.
Awesome. So Jay, for anyone listening that wants to learn more about that online personal training or your podcast, anything, how can they reach out to you and what do you want them to do once they get there?
Well, I've got actually two things. It's pretty interesting. The first thing is my podcast, and it's at fulldisclosurefitness.com. And if you go there, you put your name and email in the form at the top of the page, and you will learn how to lose weight. You will learn the truth. That's what I want to give more than anything else is people. I want to give them the truth. You'll learn how to calculate your calories. You'll learn what protein, carbs, and fats are. And it's basically scientifically backed stuff that we know. And so go there, put your name and email in the form at the top of the page. And then if you go to iSciencefit.com, that's my personal training, online personal training website. And there's a workout there for you. So I covered everything.
All right.
You put your name and email in the form there, and you'll get a workout that you can do 3 times a week. And you can just start doing that, combine it with the nutrition, and you can get the best shape of your life. I mean, it's that simple. So I would love for you to go there. And of course, if you want a consultation and you want personal attention, then fill out a consultation form at iScienceFit.com.
That's good stuff, man. Well, listen, I have really enjoyed hanging out with you today, getting to know you a little more. And, you know, before we wrap up, I guess if, you got the floor here, if there's anything at all, any parting last piece of advice or anything you'd like to share with the audience, go for it, man.
I just like to say that you can do the things that you dream of doing. Now, there's a line always. If you want to be the president, I don't know if you can do that. But if you want to lose 30 pounds, you want to get in the best shape of your life, you can do that. If you want to build a successful business, you can do that. I wish somebody would have told me that when I was 20, because I spun my wheels for 10 years at least. And so I want to tell you that. And I also want to tell you, action beats education. So if you're one of those people that educates themselves continually but never goes after their dream, go ahead and take action. Take action on that, because the person who's less educated that takes action will always beat the highly educated person who takes no action.
Amen to that, man. Love it. Well, Jay, thanks for being here today. And, you know, everybody who's listening, take some time, check out Jay's websites, which will be in the show notes, as well as, you know, how to reach out to him in social media and stuff like that. And as always, you know, at the end of these podcasts, I urge you to take one thing that you learned today from our guest. And just like Jay said, put it into action. So with that, thanks for hanging out with us. Jay, you have an awesome day, man. We'll talk to you soon. And get your butt out here to Colorado and climb the incline with me.
I'm going to take you up on it. You better watch out.
All right, man. All right. We'll see you guys.